League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
He was sitting on his couch in Philadelphia a few weeks ago. Can he tie the game with 34 seconds left? No! Texans fall to 6-5.
But I can't be really sad. Because you see, life's a game. You sometimes win or lose. And though I may be down right now, at least I don't work for
John and Lance from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Hi. 802. Rockets tonight.
How about this?
When the in-season tournament came out, we gave the Rockets zero chance. They win tonight. They're the Group B champions.
Champions. And what's being called the Group of Death.
Well, I don't know. Denver doesn't look
in the
like
group? I don't know.
Doesn't look deathly anymore.
You mean our personal who? Denver? You mean the Nuggets our personal who?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, so big deal. Just because Jokic scores 40, that's not better than Baby J's. I mean, yes, while I will tell you the box score looks better, who's having a bigger impact on winning? Baby J.
Yeah. More than the finals MVP?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And the league three-time MVP?
I think two-time MVP. Probably should have won it a third time last year.
We make the Nuggets our Bs.
Certainly at home you do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, they are our Bs. And got Dallas tonight. What's the latest on Luka?
Yeah, Luka hurt his knee, hand on James Harden's knee, so maybe James did us a favor.
Thank you, James.
He has a thumb sprain, MRI confirms. I don't know if he'll play tonight, but certainly it would help the Rockets' cause as they try to advance to the quarterfinals if Luka's not available tonight.
Brad O says this, the Rockets' defensive rating of 106.0 is currently the best the NBA has seen in the past three seasons.
Defensive rating. Okay.
Defensive rating of 106. The last time Houston had a better defensive rating was in 2017 and 18 when they won 65 games.
You know, I don't know if I can, watching this happen, I don't know if I can just automatically co-sign that everything.
James Harden team, they had 105.6 rating.
They were surprisingly good defensively.
They really were. That's not like James.
Well, they were very switchable.
And they had James.
They were switchable. They were a team that...
Well, yeah, P.J. Tucker. Well, wait, which year was this?
17, 18.
I think it was the era.
Oh, no, I think Ariza was there, right?
Was Chris Paul?
Yeah, that was Chris Paul year. And Ariza would have been there who could switch off and be long on players. You had Clint Capella. Yeah, but this team is... I don't know. Maybe that team did play. Maybe James, because other than James, I think they did play defense. So it's kind of hard to get behind the notion that, well, it just takes, you know, this is going to be a process to be a good defensive team. The Rockets have gone from bad defensive team to good defensive team, literally in 1 year. In 1 year, it's changed everything. So I don't know if you should just assume that everything is like a 2 and 3 year runway to get people to play defense. No. It's bringing some new guys in and then demanding more.
Mm-hmm.
And then there you have it. These guys are all athletic enough to play defense. And Şengün is smart enough to play defense. He's not a great athlete. Or he's not an explosive athlete, but he just was. He just
the effort
didn't
is
care
just
as much.
The effort's way different for Şengün. Different.
He cares more. And in that podcast, what we probably won't play is, in the podcast with Paul George, he talks about that he was actually a guy who – he was really sullen when they would lose in Turkey. You weren't allowed, you know, it was not, if you lost, there was no laughing, there was no jokes, there was no games. you went in, you practiced, you played ball. He said when he got with the Rockets, he began to see that he could have fun all the time, even after losses.
No.
You had fun. And that's like, and then he realized, yeah, this isn't,
that's not,
we're not supposed to be having fun after losses. And he said he's going back to the way he was when he was a Turkey. And he said that's how it is in the locker room now. It's not, you don't have fun after losses.
Yeah.
Which, hello, I mean, imagine that. You don't have fun after losses.
Bleacher Report, and let's see if you guys agree, put out the 7 most overrated players in the NBA. Jordan Poole is one. Jordan Poole
is not overrated. Every day, every time they play, there's clips of him being foolish and people just taking him to task. He's not overrated. Well, no one thinks he's good.
Oh, yeah. People do think thought he's good.
Who thinks he's good now?
Streets.
The streets are the ones that are killing him.
Well, depends on which streets. The streets and Katie.
Okay.
Now that he's out, I don't know.
People thought he was good going into last season because he was on that finals team. He had some moments, but he was bad after he got punched.
He's got a $140 million contract. Well, he's obviously overrated.
Well, by the Warriors, and they got rid of him.
He was bad after he got punched. Doesn't sound right.
Well, he was bad after he got punched. He hasn't been the same since.
No. Maybe Draymond did all that. You know who else they got overrated? Klay Thompson.
Yes, he's not good anymore.
Well, the fact of the matter is he's never there, for one. And so that's another problem. So Andrew Wiggins, they got as one of the most.
A lot of Warriors or ex-Warriors. Right.
Well, there's a couple of Rockets in there, too.
Okay.
One is Dylan Brooks.
Who's played well this year.
Yeah, Eric Gordon is one.
Wait, how is Dylan Brooks overrated now? When he was completely in the trash heap as far as his reputation
they're
in the offseason.
They're looking at
money being
contract.
Paid?
They're looking at contract.
Dylan Brooks so desperately seems to want to make Dylan Brooks a thing. He refers to himself in villainous fashion, calls out big-name opponents, plays with no shortage of look-at-me flair, and seems to generate a strange level of headline ubiquity for someone who actually hasn't been particularly effective
this
on
is
either
carryover.
End of the floor.
But this is,
now,
okay.
That's not true.
Number one, it's not
First
even,
of all, that's
they
not
haven't
true.
Even paid attention this
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
This is an article. This guy had that in his drafts on.
Yeah,
that probably. Guy had that in his drafts ready to send based on last year. I would have said that sounds perfect headed into this year. But the way he's played, if you look at right now how he's played, none of that's accurate.
Yeah.
He shot the three well. He's been a good teammate. He's had an impact on winning. Like none of that's accurate right now.
Yeah. And then he's also got Jalen Green. Tantalizing per game numbers and scoring upside. Still just 21. Green is coming off a season which he's scored 22. He's averaging 19.2, 4.4, and 2.9 assists per contest for a Rockets outfit firmly in the mix of the Western Conference playoff picture. Except Green's 53.8 true shooting percentage and inability to play palatable defense made him a negative as a sophomore. That story has rung true once again in the early stages of this campaign. His true shooting percentage has stagnated, both because he's shooting 45.8% on two-pointers and 33.3% from beyond the arc. And he's posting a worse assist-to-turnover ratio while continuing to struggle, albeit a bit less on the preventing end. I've seen, actually, improvement this year in Jalen, haven't you? I mean, his shooting is not good.
Improvement in what regard?
His last few games, actually, he's been better.
I think Jalen is Jalen's just trying to figure out who he is now after being on a team. He didn't have Fred VanVleet. He didn't have Dylan Brooks. He had no veteran leadership, really. He's figuring out who he is on a team with structure. And I think that includes not just how you approach it, but when does he get his shots? Where does he get his shots from? I think Jalen's trying to figure that out. So I think he's been fine. He's played within the structure of what you wanted. I think that's been huge for him is what Ime Udoka has asked him to do. He's done. He's played within that structure. He's not taking outrageously bad shots like he would on some occasions. And I don't want to give him too much credit for just playing ball the way it's supposed to be played. But in a way, yeah, it's one of the reasons. He does have moments where he can be explosive. He's still a guy who can go get 30 in any given game.
Yeah.
No question.
No, he's better this year. He's better this year. He did sit in the entire fourth quarter. I think those are wake-up calls. Jabari Smith sat early on. Now you look at Jeff Green's minutes, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
Now you look at Jalen Green after he's sitting the entire fourth quarter, coach's decision.
Teachable moments.
That's right. And now you and it's a little bit of a wake-up call for the kid, for young players. They're like,
It's weird to have a real head coach at, for the Rockets.
It's crazy.
I mean, Silas, nice guy. I think we're contractually obligated to talk about how nice he is. Good guy, nice guy. Okay, I've got my contractually obligated positive references. As a head coach, terrible for the Rockets.
Yes.
Just terrible in every regard. And there were people who wanted him to get another year because it wasn't fair. He wasn't given anything. Like, he was given a ton of young talent. He just didn't mold them properly. And I'm not saying they were ready to win, but they should have won way more than they won with Steven Silas. They just, they weren't, there was no discipline there. Nothing at all. So it was a little bit disappointing. When we come back, I want to get back into the Texans and where you are at the Texans now. There was so much excitement. I got to tell you, having them slip out of the playoffs, and now you're facing a team in Denver this week who's on a heater, five straight wins. Decent defense, decent offense, well coached. You have to have this one.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have this one because the narrative, you lose this one, your second in a row at home, the whole narrative on the Texans were they're headed up. They got a chance to win a division. All you got to do is beat Jacksonville. Boy, did that run away in a hurry.
Yeah, it did.
If you make that field goal, you're in a catbird seat to win a division.
Well, if you win in overtime, you're in the can.
Yeah, that would have been an overtime.
You're right. So now I got to talk right now about, again, and by the way, bottom of the hour, Ship Talk. You don't want to miss. We got a lot of good stuff in it. Right now, though, I'm talking about Artisan Grange again, and I'm talking about your dip habit. And there's not a woman alive that likes a guy that dips. Not a woman alive. It just, sorry, just doesn't happen. If she does, then I don't know. It's rough. She's rough. That one. Here's the deal: is it's gross, it's dangerous. You're putting tobacco between your cheek and gum. There's possibility, and it's happened. Don't. I mean, oh yeah, whatever. It's not. It's dangerous. Okay, I've seen guys have issues. Bad issues from dipping for years and years and years. Go ahead, put tobacco in that same spot between your cheek and gum, and think and see how that's going to work out for you. No. It's not cool. It's not good. How about
Earl Campbell couldn't be right on everything?
Not everything. Not everything. And who was the Cowboys put pinch between your cheek and gum?
That was Earl Campbell.
No, it was also the Cowboys.
They probably had two of them.
Yeah.
Fullback?
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't Randy White?
It wasn't Randy White. I'll think of it. Anyway, it's something that you need to stop. And you can do it with 975dip.com, or you can go to CBD American Shaman stores, select stores, and pick
Walt
it up
Garrison.
There. Walt Garrison. That's right. And if you're looking for the best way to get out of that dip, right now, let's go. 975dip.com. That's 975dip.com.
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Pitter patter.
It's a hard life picking stones and pulling teats, but sure as God's got sandals, it beats fighting dudes with treasure trails.
Currently, in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, one is a renowned forensic blood splatter expert. The other, an appointed master of haberdashery. It's John and Lance.
It was not Raphael Septien. Okay, it was Walt Garrison. A pinch between your cheek and gum. That's what Walt Garrison do.
It's back when we had commercials telling kids, y'all need to dip.
Y'all need to dip. You need to smoke.
And then you took Tony Gwynn's jaw from him.
Yeah. You see what happened to Tony Gwynn? You think I'm lying? Tony Gwynn, American hero. And look what happened. Okay? Stop already. 713-780-3776. You guys want to get in? Talk about anything we've talked about. Dell and I talked a little college football yesterday. I thought Ryan Day might be an option here at the University of Houston. If Ryan Day got – if he got the axe, bring him on.
Yeah.
Let's go. I'd take Ryan Day.
Sure, I would too.
Yeah.
I would too. It's three straight losses to Michigan. They don't like that kind of stuff there. They don't like that kind of stuff there. How the worm has turned over there. It was Ohio State beating the brakes off Michigan forever. And now they can't, they can't beat Michigan. Michigan's just too much for them. Credit to Jim Harbaugh on what he's built over there with that program. Ohio State had some.
And how he built it. He's done it clean.
Well, I think he's built it in a good way. I just think that some renegade named
Connor Stallion,
Jim Harbaugh didn't know what was going. Didn't know any of that stuff happened.
A renegade.
Yes, some renegade was doing stuff. Him and a linebacker coach, and they're the ones. It wasn't Harbaugh or anyone else. No one else in that building knew. It was just the linebacker coach and.
In fact, I think we heard that Harbaugh destroyed the computers the one time. He went back there and made a ruckus, destroyed the computers. Oh, that's A.J. Hinch, sorry. Different guy.
That's altogether. A different guy.
Okay. You got to stop doing this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha.
Man, what an absolute crazy. So I was thinking about this. My family obviously is looking at how can Texas get in a national championship game. Here's the only way it happens. There's only one way. It involves Florida State must lose. It starts with Florida State must lose to Louisville. They mm-hmm. must, or there's, or you're not going to have any chance. Now you have to have if Florida State were to lose to Louisville, you have to have Georgia. You basically have to have all the favorites win. Washington needs to beat Oregon. Georgia, Washington won't be a favorite, I don't think, but Washington needs to beat Oregon. Georgia has to beat Alabama. You need to have, what's the other one? Michigan has to win. So you have to have the big ones. Michigan, Washington, and Georgia win. And then Texas would have to move ahead of Ohio State. They'd have to move ahead of Oregon, which they would. Ahead of Florida State, which they would. And that's it. And Texas could get in if that scenario takes place. I expect Texas to get in. Now, Texas obviously has to win also.
You expect Texas to win if?
To get in, if Florida State loses,
yeah.
Washington wins, Georgia wins, and Michigan wins, who else would be ahead of them? A two-loss Oregon team won't be.
Yeah, Alabama would be out.
Florida State would be out.
They'd match them up and say
Texas would
Big
be in.
12 champion against
but
one-loss Iowa State.
But it only happens if all those favorites win, Texas wins. And
Texas, they need some style points, too.
And though. Louisville wins. Well, I just don't know who would get in ahead of them.
The only one that's up for debate, as you say, Ohio State, a Big 12 champion, Texas, you would imagine would get in
one-loss
Ohio State.
Beat Alabama at Alabama.
Well, that's just it. The Alabama win at Alabama is a huge one. With Bama playing the way they have been, that win has really continued to mean more and more and more. So, and then beating Kansas State, even though, you know, I think in real life, and the number played out about where it was. Texas is only about 3-point favorite. But beating Kansas State, a Kansas State team that has some good wins and has played well, that's actually a good win for them as well. They beat Oklahoma State, and Oklahoma State has picked up some pretty good wins.
Do you think Ohio State in this upcoming CFP poll drops behind Texas?
No.
I don't think so either.
No, they'll be ahead of Texas.
So Texas will need the data point of beating Oklahoma State to jump ahead.
Texas needs the style points of beating up on. Yeah, Texas needs to win that game, I think, by 10 points or more. I think Ohio State falls to probably fifth, sixth.
Oregon.
I think you don't mind having them in striking position. Let me tell you now, if Oregon beats Washington, Washington's gone.
I don't think
Washington sticks around. I think the college football playoffs cannot fathom the idea of having that Florida State team with no Jordan Travis making the national championship, making the college football playoffs. It is going to be horrific.
You can't hold them out, though, if they win.
Yeah, I don't think you can.
No, you can't.
But can you imagine having them in ahead of Ohio State and knowing that you're making the college football playoffs worse? Yeah. Because you are. But I feel for the Florida State fans. But, you know, college basketball did it with at least with the one seed with Cincinnati. They said, nope. We're not giving Cincinnati the one seed. Everyone knew they were the best team in college basketball, but the difference is Cincinnati lost their conference tournament championship. They were knocked out, and then they were able to kick them out of a one seed when Kenyon Martin was injured. This is Jordan Travis. Like, Florida State has no prayer.
Here's the thing.
Without Jordan Travis.
Jordan Travis on the field, I'd probably say Florida State's still, the way everyone's playing, the eighth-best team in the country. I think they'd be behind three one-loss teams. I know Power 5, you win it, you're undefeated, you get in. But that's, I think, the unsaid thing. Florida State, even with Jordan Travis on the field, they're probably not better than seven teams that they'd be going up against. But they would make it because you win the ACC, you're undefeated, you get in. That offensive line's not great. Now with Tate Rodemaker in there, we know they got problems. The wide receivers, oddly enough, become neutralized because you have that soft tossing quarterback in there. It would be mostly because of their offensive line, they get run off the field. They wouldn't be able to block anybody. Whoever they face, they're not going to be able to block anybody. So it would be a 1-4, one of those semifinals that gets out of hand really early. If they face Georgia, you should pray for Tate Rodemaker. Pray for that kid because that offensive line can't block Georgia.
It'll be terrible. It'll be TCU against Georgia. It'll be awful. It'll be awful. We can't have that. We can't have Florida State playing in the college football playoff. This would be the perfect year. Honestly, there are a lot of good teams. If Oregon and Washington both deserve to be there, Ohio State deserves to be there. You know, if Ohio State was in it, are you saying that they couldn't make a run?
Notre Dame.
No.
I thought, well, we usually put Notre Dame
in. Well, we do, but not this year. There are so many teams that would be a great year for, and I think it's going to continue to be this way. Teams are going to come up with NIL money, and we're going to have a lot of good football teams. And I think the 12 team is going to be really, really good. It's not like, hey, listen, I think Georgia's come back to the pack. I don't think Georgia's like not nearly as dominant as they have been in the past.
Oh, I think Michigan's the best team in college football, and it's not everyone wants to say Georgia out of. But if you've actually watched Michigan the whole year, now I am curious about if Michigan's going to be able to throw the ball effectively, consistently. But Michigan's got a good quarterback. They got two good running backs. They lost Zach Zinter, their right guard, who's really good. But they've had a good offensive line that'll be a finalist for the Joe Moore Awards again. They've got, you know, they don't have a headline star defensively like they've had with Aiden Hutchinson, but I think Michigan is probably no one's as good as the Georgia teams. Like the top end teams are not as good as what we've seen in the past, but I do think Michigan might be better than Georgia. And I think Michigan, Georgia, and Oregon to me are the three best teams in college football. And then from there, I think it's really up for debate. I don't know if Quinn Ewers is back enough physically. Does arm look the same to you? I don't think there's as much velocity on his passes.
No,
I don't think the arm looks the same. You lost Brooks, your running back, but Texas has a shot. I don't know. I don't know who that next step. I think Ohio State definitely has an argument to still be in the mix for at number
four. That's what I'm saying. I think,
if Alabama wins, Georgia has to stay in, right? You have to have two SEC teams in. You can't have Alabama win and them not. But look where they are. They're at eight. They have to leapfrog to at least number four.
Yeah, yep. No, Alabama's in.
Probably three, and Georgia goes to four. Michigan will win. They'd be in at one. And then I guess two would be the winner of Washington, Oregon. And Florida State would be out. So you give Alabama – I actually give Alabama a shot.
I give
them an outside shot.
Yeah, absolutely. I give them a shot, yeah.
You do?
I do.
Yeah.
Milroe's played better. He's a running quarterback, which is always a – you know, are they good enough to beat Georgia
in a one-gamer? Sure. I would, like, if this was a two-week, if Georgia had 2 weeks to prepare, no, I think they'd mash them. But in a one-game, like a one-week normally to prepare, yeah, I think they got a shot.
Who do you think are the four best teams in college football?
Ooh, I would.
Regardless of whatever wins, like, if you had to say these are the four that I think would make the best
if
playoffs.
I could make my fantasy four, I would go Georgia, Michigan, Oregon. And honestly, I think Alabama's better now than Texas, but because of the head-to-head, I'd probably throw Texas in there.
Well, I'm asking who would now.
I think Alabama might be
better. I think Alabama's better than Texas, particularly right with no Jonathan Brooks.
They're a different team. Alabama's a different team.
No Jonathan Brooks at Texas, I'd probably throw Alabama's top four. And then Washington's probably Washington's five.
Washington, I don't want to say they're fraudulent 12-0, but Washington is not. Washington won against Oregon because Oregon missed some.
Yeah.
Dan Lanning didn't take points on the board. Like, Dan Lanning kind of screwed that one up against Washington.
Like, they've played Oregon.
They barely got by Washington State.
Yeah, they've squeezed down the stretch. They've won their last two. Now, Oregon State, on the road, it's a tough place to play, and they won by two, and then they beat Washington State. Michael Penix can't even watch the last field goal. He had his head buried, and they won that one. So they've kind of squeezed down the stretch, but they're 12-0, so we'll see. But, yeah, they wouldn't be in my fantasy top four if I was making the list up.
All right, 828 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. What ship talk is
ship
that?
Ship talk. We got sound from
ship
from across the sports world. People saying reckless things.
Yeah.
Throughout, so we'll get that.
Scale
going.
Of 1 to 10. How reckless are we talking?
Well, Debo Samuel said some reckless. Samuel said some reckless stuff in the offseason and went back down from it. And it pertains to their matchup against the Eagles coming up. So he's probably the most reckless. All the other stuff is probably pretty on point.
Biggest game of the year. Biggest game of the year.
I thought the Texans-Broncos was the biggest game of the year.
Well, it's the biggest game of the year for the Texans.
Okay.
That's not the – but San Francisco and Philadelphia?
Yeah. The 49ers.
That is a good game.
It's not the biggest game. In terms of – well, you do have some home field stuff, but, well, not really. I mean, Philadelphia's in great shape. But this is really like
these are two of the best
teams. I just want you to know that I'm the top dog. This is a positional who the alpha is game.
That's absolutely. Right now I'm talking about Doc Linville. I'm talking about are you somebody that needs a hat when you wear a suit? If you're somebody that needs a hat when you wear a suit, Doc Linville is here for you. You need Doc Linville. You have to have Doc Linville. Doc Linville is going to change your life. No more hats when you're wearing a suit. Listen, it's so good to have the confidence of having hair, be it a bald spot in the back or receding hairline, whatever it is that's happening to you. You could be thinning as a youngster if you're young in your 20s, 30s, 40s. All of a sudden it's thinning and you're like, I don't want to be bald. You don't have to be bald. It's easy. The process is easy. And Doc is giving you 50 cents off right now on the procedure, on the neo-grafting. But there's a lot of you out there, I'm starting to recede. Well, you might just need the PRP, which is really inexpensive, and it's a simple procedure, and it'll help stimulate the growth in your hair. So all of these things are possibilities, but there's one place to go. 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Dude.
Like I told my last wife, I says, honey, I never drive faster than I can see. Besides that, it's all in the reflexes.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Lance and John. Scratch that. Reverse it.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Ship talk. Talking ship. Okay? Because there's a lot of it going on in sports these days. And Dell has compiled a few of them that he will illuminate right here during this segment. Dell, take it away.
Last week, we discussed Tom Brady's comments. In fact, you heard him talking about how mediocre football is. He blamed the rule changes for changing the way people are taught. Well, here's Alex Smith on, I think it was on...
Well, and you got to tell him that Rex Ryan is sitting there.
The context of this is Alex Smith is on one of the NFL shows on ESPN, and the panel is filled with members, or at least people who have played in the AFC East. It was Teddy Bruschi, former Patriot, Randy Moss, former a lot of teams, but he did play for the Patriots, and as John mentioned, Rex Ryan, who coached for the Jets and the Bills. And this is Alex Smith responding, and you also hear the voice of Sam Ponder.
And you can't see the face of Rex Ryan, but he's none too pleased with this conversation.
And there we go.
You've been in his position, retiring, and then watching the game from a distance. Do you agree with Tom Brady?
I mean, a lot here, Sam. Listen, first off, let me just preface this. I love Tom, the GOAT, but
you don't need to say that. But you need to say it. Just get him.
First off, he hasn't been retired that long. He was just playing. Like, he just won a Super Bowl in the current game. Like, is he discounting that one? And then my biggest complaint with this, and no offense to you guys, well, all three of you guys, he played in the most uncompetitive division, I think, in NFL history. I mean, you come out of training camp, the biggest cupcake division, you got a ticket to the playoffs right away. Like, talk about mediocre. I completely disagree with this. I know he's referencing the rule changes over the middle to the receiver, but in my opinion, I think the game's gotten better. There's more parity across the league. Quarterback play is at an all-time high, I think, across the league. Like, the best – you've got the best athletes playing the position. We didn't have this 30, 40 years ago.
That had to sting.
Rex Ryan is, like, playing over camp going, oh, my God.
You come out of camp and you got a ticket into the playoff. Like, It's kind of true, though.
It was true. It was really true, right, Del?
Yeah, I was a part of watching Tom Brady do what he wanted to the likes of Cleo Lemon and Ray Lucas and Gus Frerotte and Chad Pennington. Although Chad had 1 year when Tom Brady got hurt. Yeah, as a Dolphin fan, I saw it was a terrible division, and Rex Ryan was a piece of that. This is going to hit closer to home. Lance sent this clip to me, but I found it as well. But this is CJ Stroud on a podcast. He was asked to compare LA women to Houston women. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you got to know your audience, CJ. And so here's CJ comparing LA women to Houston women. And I would say he's probably going to have to take this back at some point.
LA girls or Houston girls?
You know what's crazy, bro? It's not even close.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, hold on.
I'm interested.
Like, it's not even close.
It's not close?
No.
So what's the separation here?
L.A., bro. It's not even close, bro. I love Houston.
But that's crazy. It's not even close?
It's not close, bro.
I want to apologize to all of my sisters from Houston, Texas, bro, on behalf.
And I can't go into detail for real. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But
you don't have to.
Long story short, bro. It's just like, you know, like being a California kid, you have pride about that. Like,
right.
You respect the hustle and the grind. You see the women go through where we're from. Yeah. I love Houston. Houston women are great. But for me, LA, bro, like, you can get a little bit of everything, bro. Out here, like, yeah, they got some varieties, but you can go to the Valley, you can go to IE, you can go to LA, you can go to San Diego, you can go to Oakland. Like, it's so many spots you can hit. You know what I'm saying? It ain't just about women, just vibes in general.
Just vibes.
One thing about LA girls, like, they real bougie. Houston girls are fake bougie.
That was CJ on the Ox Money Boardroom podcast, and he took LA girls over Houston girls.
Well, that's fine. I think he went a little far with some of it, but, you know, that's his opinion. He also went after Houston food, said it was too gassed up. He said, maybe I'm not getting, people told me the wrong places and all that stuff, which definitely can happen, and you got to know what his food choice is. But, yeah, that was actually some people on, in like, that's one of those things that will, it's like, I don't think he cared about what the perception was. He said, I don't want to go into details, but you got different varieties, different flavors out here. Like, I didn't even know what he was. Del, what did he mean by the different varieties of women and flavors?
Thought may have been like maybe race related, or maybe it just means how the women and how they act or their attitude, depending on what city you're in, stuff like that. Because he did go on to mention the cities that you can find.
I think LA has different, more vibes to it. If you know, and I'm somebody who has followed the Rockets, so I know about vibes.
Yeah, of course.
Over the last two years, Hollywood.
How many girls go there for
that? They got Hollywood. They got, like he said, the Valley.
Well, you heard him say, "LA girls are real bougie. Houston girls are fake bougie."
Yeah,
I'd like to know what that means. Actually,
we'll go to the practice and ask on Wednesday. Ask him what he meant.
I probably should.
So we should, today. No, he's not available.
Wednesday,
tomorrow.
Yeah.
We talked about the biggest game of the year, not Houston related. Debo Samuel is a San Francisco 49er. After their NFC Championship game loss to the Eagles, the 49ers talked a lot because their quarterbacks got hurt. They talked about playing with 10 guys and things would have been different if they were healthy. So what you're going to hear is Debo on a podcast with LeSean McCoy and others talking about James Bradberry, and then you're going to hear a reporter from the Bay Area referencing that comment and asking if Debo wanted to take it back. Here is they're combined, so you hear both.
Let me ask you this question. So Brandon Ayuk come out and say
he did.
When he said that they was going to get exposed.
The Eagles defense. What was he saying about that?
Where's the holes?
Where are the holes?
There's holes.
What's the holes?
It was some wide open plays now.
The back end. You got the all pro and the all pro.
The D-line make both of them all pros.
You don't, so
besides Slay, I respect Slay.
What about Bradberry?
Trash.
Bradberry is trash? He didn't want to make all pro.
Did you see the play that Brandon had? The second play of the game, he got hurt? Purdy got hurt?
Time out.
The separation, like, it's just like.
It's football. You going to make some plays?
You term James Bradberry trash. He regret
that. I mean.
So that was a reporter asking him. He said, I don't regret anything I say. That the first clip is from the I Am Athlete podcast, and that was Debo saying James Bradberry is trash. and they'll see each other this Sunday.
Mm. And then he confirmed it.
Yeah. The reporter asked him, you want to take that back? Nah, I'll take it back. That man trash. So that'll be a subplot. If you missed it, like I said, the 49ers talked a lot about that game and pretty much said, hey, if we had our healthy team, we would have beat the Eagles. And so they'll have a shot at them in their game upcoming. If you missed Black Friday game, there wasn't a lot from that game that was memorable outside of what we're calling, at least the Jets fans are calling, the Hail Mary. That was Javon Holland returning that Hail Mary for a touchdown. Javon Holland was asked about the MetLife Field because Jalen Phillips, one of the good young pass rushers in the league, was injured towards Achilles. He's out for the year. So this is Javon Holland talking about the field at MetLife.
You know, since being in the league, I've heard that field is trash. My rookie year, my homeboy ended up going down, Jamal Perry. So kind of the same thing. I mean, I'm not necessarily – I don't know the statistics or anything like that, but I do know turf does increase the chances of getting hurt. So, yeah, no, that feels trash.
And we read off the list yesterday of all the prominent players who have had season-ending injuries, major injuries, leg injuries from that field, from Bosa – to Raheem Mostert, who's now a Dolphin, but with the 49ers. Solomon Thomas, who's now a Jet, but got injured towards ACL as a 49er. So, yeah, MetLife has claimed another victim, and that was Javon Holland talking about the field being trash. We got one more clip. This is local, Shingun. Alfred Shingun, as Lance calls him, Baby J. He was on a podcast, the Paul George podcast. He talked about a lot of things, but he talked about the draft, his draft night, and his thoughts leading up to the draft about OKC, because that was a place he was rumored to go, and obviously we're lucky to have him here. Here's Alperen Şengün on potentially going to OKC and being happy it didn't work out that way.
Actually, I didn't want to go to OKC that much. Like, and how I can say my OKC workout wasn't like maybe some of my worst workout I did since I came here, you know? It was really so hard. They said, you're going to OKC, but my agency was in my table, you know? He said, you're going to OKC, but they're going to trade you in Houston. But I don't even know anything about Houston because I didn't even talk to them, you know? But they were telling me, OKC is so boring. I hope not, you're not going over there and nothing. You know, when they told me you're going to Houston, I was a little happy, you know?
Yeah.
Because something to do over there, people said.
Right.
I was lucky. It's a lot of Turkish people over there, too. So which just helped me a lot.
He's right. Okay, she's so boring.
It's just so funny. The clip was promoted by a Rockets Twitter account, not an official one, but a Rockets fans Twitter account, and it's one of the same accounts who got upset with Wimby because of his reaction when he found out he wouldn't have to go to Houston. So it goes both ways. Şengün is thrilled he isn't OKC, and Wimby, I guess, happy he's in San Antonio.
Did you see on top of Pop admonishing the fan base for booing
Kawhi Leonard?
Kawhi Leonard, they misspelled Wembanyama's name on his jersey.
Yeah, I saw that. He said it was a. He was asked about it. Yeah, it's unfortunate.
What are we doing, Spurs?
We're having a bad
week.
What
kind of minor league ass organization are you?
How about did you
Pop? That's so embarrassing.
It is embarrassing for
Pop for paid.
And then they
fans
kept booing, which I'm glad.
Yeah, because Pop shouldn't. Look, I'm personally not a booer. That's a guy who quit on your organization.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Kawhi did a lot of great things, but it's complicated because he also literally quit. Like, he just decided he wasn't going to play one year because he was pouting. He's got a complicated, you know, he could have been like the Tim Duncan of a Tim Duncan part two, but he's just not like that. He's got some diva in him, and we're talking about Kawhi. But for Popovich to tell the fans to be quiet like he's Bob Knight or like he's something like...
Remember when
that was a bad look.
Remember when Sam Weish took the mic in Cincinnati?
Yeah, but then he said?
No, he said, stop throwing stuff on the field. We're not Cleveland.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That was funny.
They asked Kawhi about it, and he goes, yeah, they boo me here, but it's quiet in them streets. Every time I'm in the streets of San Antonio, they come up and say, what's up? And I'm getting all these handshakes.
You don't live in Cleveland.
People want to take pictures. So apparently, when people show up, see Kawhi, and go face-to-face, it's all love in San Antonio.
Yeah.
But you know,
well, obviously, from that's a distance, how it works. But
from a distance, that he got booed.
Come on. He's getting booed. Those are your home fans. Stop admonishing your fan base about what they can and can't cheer for.
No,
that's not who we are. We're a class like
insane that is to do it between free throws. You know, and the public dressing house. Here, take the mic.
Like, you know, that's
during free throws where you want them to miss. Honestly, Pop is so full of them. So Pop thinks he's the Spurs.
He does.
Pop actually thinks he's the Spurs. And while we may look at him as being the Spurs, that is such a dumb move to try to tell your fan base. Like, that missed the mark. Who you can boo, what you can and can't do for people who pay money. You just got done having the worst basketball team in the league. One of the worst basketball teams in the league. Got,
again,
and by the way, they ain't playing so great right now.
No. Again, they are. They're terrible. They're terrible. All right, we got to hear from D'Amico. We haven't heard any from D'Amico, so we'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, I'm talking about the Chastangs. I'm telling you, I love what the Chastangs do. I love that they are the integrity that they show every single time that you buy a car at Chastang Ford. I love the diligence. I love how hard they work. I mean, the last car that I bought, it took a little while, and I was like, you know, what's going on? And he said, we are working hard to find you the best interest rate that we possibly can. And because we got it from Ford, and Ford just, their number isn't good enough. And so they went and scoured the banks, and they found a better interest rate for me. And that's the way they do it. They're going to make sure that you get the best deal that you possibly can, be it with the car, exactly what you want, no add-ons, no markups. They're going to give you the rebates that you deserve, that they have available for you. They're not going to hold them back and then keep them themselves. They're giving you all of the best that they can possibly do every single time. I love my experience at Chastang Ford. You will too. You'll be part of the family. Trust me, you buy one car from there, you're going to buy another. And they've got everything right now on the lot, pre-owned and new, at ChastangFord.com. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. It's just 5 minutes from downtown. Or you can do it all online at ChastangFord.com.
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Watch out, door.
I will not be murdered wearing a blue and white plastic cone on my head. It's positively undignified.
John plus Lance equals a damn good start to your day. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
Hey, D'Amico met the media yesterday, and he ain't mincing no words, okay? Asked about they got to play better. He said everybody's got to play better, CJ included. Got to play better. Here is the deal. We talked about it earlier in the show, is that there weren't many on schedule throws. It was all a lot of standing there and escaping and running. He ran the ball six times, and those were all on scrambles. He threw 26 times, and he had four sacks. So, and the offensive line was bad. It was bad. And he had to go and find, and he had no running game at all. Zero running game.
That's devastating.
Yep.
You know, two straight weeks you run the ball for over 100-plus yards with one back. Pierce gets back, and I noticed that they were running some gap scheme stuff with him, which is not the zone scheme. It's a different – now they're going to do both with both running backs, but he's not a fit in the outside zone scheme, really, Damian Pierce. So they're going to try to run some different types of run plays with him. But, you know, when Singletary's not the guy, I felt like they didn't fully commit to the running game. No. Maybe they should have little bit more.
No. They ran the ball between them 11 times. Between the two of them, they ran 11 times.
Yeah, that's
times.
Not really commitment.
Well, but when
it
you
was not going to be easy.
Well,
but,
when, but some of that's on Bobby Slowick, and we're going to hear from Bobby Slowick on tomorrow. He'll be meeting the media. But, you know, what about those play calls? What about third and one and fourth and one?
Yeah, mistakes.
Mistake. But here's the deal is, D'Amico said, you know, we got to get back. We got to get on schedule. Talking about getting the rhythm and the timing.
Jags did a good job yesterday of mixing up the looks on their defense, but there were also looks that we've seen and looks that we made plays against. So we just have to be consistent with our reads, our progression, and we just have to continue to play within the rhythm and timing of our offense. That's where we have to reestablish that focus, right? Just recenter and just get back to the basics of owning our fundamentals when it comes to the timing and rhythm of our offense.
Yeah. And he mentioned reads and progressions is directly a quarterback comment. And I think, you know, I'm going to go back and look at it today, but I think if you went on there. I think CJ, for the first time, tried to play a little hero ball. You know, he's feeling confident, but you got to stay inside that. You got to stay inside. I like the fact that he can make plays when he needs to, but don't look to try to make too much out of it. So do what you've been doing, which is take what's there and move on to the next one. Take what's there and move on to the next one.
Yeah. Well, and that's a big part of it. A big part of it, number 10, a big part of it is, you know, is taking what they give. Did he take what they were giving him?
Mm-hmm.
He had the explosive play that was called back, which was ridiculous. He also, I love the Nico touchdown where he slid in the pocket. He slid up and Nico is crossing and he hits him and Nico goes into the end zone for 17 yards. That's a really, really nice play. But did he take what the defense was giving him? Here's DeMeco talking about that.
With the movement that we'll get from many defenses, all defenses move post-snap, pre-snap. It's something with our quarterback, with CJ, that he's seen before. He just has to continue to go through his progression, right? Really doesn't matter about the defense. It's about us as an offense dictating and going where we want to go with the football and getting the ball into our playmakers' hands. And if we handle that efficiently, that's when we play good offense. When we get off schedule, right, and we don't play on time and rhythm, then that's what you see. You see, we're kind of sputtering around there. We just have to be more efficient on offense, sustaining drives, right? Continue to press forward.
Well, you know, you're right. He's not mincing words. I mean, he didn't like the flow and the rhythm of that offense. I think his defense did enough to help win a game. Yeah, they had their, you know, they had their breakdown certainly, but when they needed to step up, they got some stops. They gave the offense a chance. And the offense had their opportunities, but that was a game where the Texans just didn't, it just wasn't in rhythm. It starts with a running game. You'd like to have that running game be more of a factor. Did Bobby Sloat get away from it? Was that just part of the game plan in the install, you know, on Tuesday? Because they install the offense and you got a game plan, and they may have just said, look, we're going to throw it a ton because we think that's the best way to move it on Jacksonville. But that's hard. That would kind of be hard to believe. I could see it maybe with your scripted plays, but you know that the best way to help your offensive line is to be able to run the football, and it helps C.J. Stroud too as it pertains to the pressure. So that was the offensive line's play was disappointing on Sunday.
Oh, that's an understatement. I think it was his worst game. Tunsil was not good. Did you get a chance to look at Juice Scruggs?
No, I didn't even know Juice played.
Oh yeah, Titus Tower got hurt. No, and Juice came in.
I didn't. Like I said, I was at the.
Yeah.
I was at the suite. I didn't even know that happened.
Yeah. Juice was actually a sighting.
So
and
he
you
was,
missed it.
So he played left guard, and Fant still played right tackle. No, but I'll definitely focus in on that. How bad is Titus hurt?
It was pretty bad. He was carted off actually.
Yep. Carted back to the locker room.
Yeah, we haven't gotten any update.
I mean, that's a guy who hadn't played football in over 2 months. So, and Juice Scruggs. So, I'm interested to see what the tape looks like on him.
So it looks like it's going to be Juice going forward with Fant and Dieter and Shaq Mason. Listen, nobody played well. No, none of the offensive line played well. Nobody. That'll be interesting to see what the grades are from PFF. Although it's hard to trust PFF and what they say, but I can say with my human eyes, nobody. But nobody played well.
They gave a good report to your guy, C.J. Stroud. They had a good grade for him.
They did?
See, and that's the difference is, it sounds like based on what DeMeco says, he and especially Bobby Sloat, would probably give a little different grade on where the ball was supposed to go or the progressions, stuff like that. But based on what they saw, PFF had a pretty good grade on C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
I'll take a look at what the Texans with the grades for this game. I've got them right here from a depth chart standpoint. Here, I'll just click depth chart and let's take a look. Who do you want? You want to yucky. Titus Howard's grades are
no, bad. He was bad. He gave up a sack right before he got hurt.
Howard's grades for the whole year are atrocious.
Yeah, he's bad. No,
his
bad.
Grades right now, it's going to be one of the worst in pro football.
Yeah.
He's at 46.8 on their grades. He had a 48.3 for PFF, a 0 in pass block. Oh, he got hurt pretty early. Okay. Yeah.
Whose grades are worse, Titus Howard's or your kids who doesn't go to school?
Yeah.
Mm.
Snacks.
Well, Snacks' grades are better because HISD is such a joke. They just let you make up. There's no such thing as zeros. You eventually can just turn any slop in and get a 50. Like when we were in school, you decided you weren't going to turn it in. That's fine. You just made that choice.
Mm-hmm.
And then every choice has consequences. Now kids are taught at school like, you're not really. Don't worry. We'll give you all semester to make this up.
Is the issue he's discovered women and that's why he doesn't go to school? What's the deal?
Well,
have you pinpointed it?
Snacks has discovered women starting last year, yes. I think he's at a new school. He's at his brother's school. He was at a different school. And so he has to try to be cool. I don't know. He's hated school since he was in kindergarten. Most kids like going to school. He hated going to school from the very jump.
But that's where you see the girls.
I know. He likes girls.
But he doesn't make enough appearances.
I think it could be an issue potentially, yes. I'm still trying to get over how bad Titus Howard is. Titus Howard might be the lowest graded. He's the lowest graded Texan in football.
Like, just Texan overall?
Yeah.
Worse than Tavier Thomas was?
No. I'm talking about for the year.
Okay.
Denzel Perryman is actually graded worse. Denzel Perryman is the lowest graded Texan in PFF, followed by Titus Howard. Then comes...
How much did they pay Titus Howard?
Houston Carson. They pay him a ton. I'm the one that said, don't pay him. Let him play this year, see how he does, and then make a decision. By the way, they say this is going to be a historic tackle draft where you will have at least six, maybe seven tackles going in the first round. I was like, what? So, yeah, and now we've got – now Titus Howard's not playing tackle, and I thought he was an awful guard when they tried to move him there his rookie year. So he's out of position, which doesn't help. But, my gosh, looking at these PFF grades, Henry To'o is a 43. He's even worse than Denzel Perryman.
Awful. All right, we got to break it.
Boy Cashman is almost a 90.
Yeah, he's good. No,
they've got him at like all pro level.
Cashman has been fantastic.
The Houston Texans' best. Who are their four best starters?
We'll have that on the other side.
On the other side. See who you think.
Who are their four best starters?
Uh-huh.
When we come back right here on ESPN 97.5. And 92.5. Right now, though, John Clay Wolf talking. I saw a big tweet he made about Teslas, that they're not really electric cars. I don't know what the point was there, but John Clay Wolf he's buying up. It doesn't matter what it is. Now, it does matter what it is. It can't be a really, really cheap car. It can't be really inexpensive. He doesn't want to deal with that. He's not dealing with beaters. He's selling them back on. He's selling them at auction, so they have to have some value to them. So if you got a beater, he's not really interested. If you got a car that's $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $10,000, $50,000, $100,000, he's very interested in all of those cars because those are cars that he will give you more for, and then try to get more at auction for. So because the value of the more expensive car is really, it's really incredible. And this guy knows. He knows when you call his radio show or you go right to the website, gimmethevin.com, and you put in what the car is, he'll come back with a number really, really quickly. And it'll be a number that you're going to go, wow, I didn't know I could get this much for it. But you can. You can when you go to gimmethevin.com. You're looking to sell your car. There's one place that you have to go. GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, home of Odin Finch.
Odin Finch.
I'm Odin Finch.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home, plus fast and free shipping site-wide. Shop now through July 28th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.